You know, we have heard many things been spoken of so far in the year 2020. And we believe that really we have not just entered into a new season, but we've been hearing the term we've entered into a new era. A new era because something God is doing something and is going to take us into a greater and a new dimension. And I just want to leave you with a thought, because if I get into that, I'll get sidetracked. But God is doing a new thing. And I'll say this in passing, okay? It's not to say that, you see, when we talk about let go of the old and go forward for the new, usually what we mean by the old is a lot of traditions. We mean the negative things. Maybe we had some tensions or negative things that happened. So we let go of the old. But there's a different spin, you know, as we go into this new era, is all the things that God has been putting in our hearts and in our lives in the past, God's going to take that as a platform to bring us into the new. Can you say amen? It's just like the old covenant. God established all the covenants in order for the new covenant to make way for the new covenant. And so what God has been putting in your life, in our lives, all these years, all the input, is not let go of this and this complete something completely. God is going to take us from a level to another level, and we're going to step into something greater. Amen. So I see that it's like the Moses and the Joshua begin to rise, and all of that. So you begin to see there's a old and a new, and then yet there's something new about it. You know, there's old, new generation, yet both together there's a new. I don't know if you can understand what I'm trying to say here, but something fresh is going to happen. Amen. So I want you to believe that in this decade or even this era that we are in, God is good, God is faithful, and He will take us and we are going to fulfill our destiny in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning and about to praise and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and what we mean by that and how significant it is for this year. Now, of course, most of us would understand what praising is. We understand that. You know, we praise the Lord. We praise this morning. We worship God. But I believe that, you know, there's something significant about this. And let me just review a few things that we have already spoken of in previous weeks. But before I go into that, I just want to make some just slight references here so that in the course of the message, it will not be foreign when I say certain words, okay? So first of all, just going through this here really quickly is the Old Testament was written mainly in, as we know, it's Hebrew, okay? It's a little bit of Aramaic, but predominantly was written in Hebrew. Next point here is the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So the Old Testament being in Hebrew, it was translated into the Greek language. It's called the Septuagint, okay? The next one here is the New Testament was written in, as we know it was written in Greek, all right? So can you verbalize this with me? So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and the New Testament was written in Greek, okay? It's not that I doubt your knowledge, it's just that we're going to use this a little bit in the course of the message, so I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page so we're not lost. So we have entered into 2020. We are declaring it's a new era. God is doing something powerful. We've also said that in this decade, God is saying that this is a decade of the mouth, a decade of the decree or declaration of proclamation. And it began on the 29th of September when the Feast of Tabernacles takes place, okay, every year. And it's also the Jewish New Year, okay, so 557 AD. And we talked about the number 80 there being the word mouth, pay, okay, associates to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But let me review really quickly here. The 3 points, a message that I shared on the last week of 2019. And the first point was, in 2020 and the years beyond, the word of the Lord will be clear. Number two, my responsibility is to hear. And is it time to declare what the Father has decreed. Everybody, can you verbalize this with me? So number one, the voice of the Lord will be clear. My responsibility is to hear. And it's a time to declare what the Father has decreed. Very significant in this year that we have entered in, and God is not, and I want to make this very clear. We have 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, it says, believe in the Lord and you shall be established, and believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. So I first believe that it's not just the prophet speaking, but the Lord first is speaking. God has to be speaking. So amen. So God is speaking. I want to hear what God is saying. God is speaking. And I want you to know and be assured that the Lord God is speaking to us. For he says, my sheep will hear my voice. So you can hear the voice of God. Amen. Amen. And there are many people who are proclaiming what the Lord is saying. And so when we not only believe God and hear his prophets, we'll be established and we shall prosper. Amen. So that's the reason why the year of the mouth, we have God's word proceeding out of his mouth and the word of God proceeding out of the mouth of God's people. And that's you and that's me. For I want to declare this morning that God is raising a company of like John the Baptist who proclaim, announce the word of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare that our mouth will be used of God, will be set, will be anointed by God, will be the Spirit will begin to move, and our mouth will be used to speak forth his word. The word of the Lord will go forth and will not return void. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 There's a lot of noise in our society. There's a lot of in the media and all the world, all around the world. There are many things that are happening. But in the midst of the noise, God is raising up a voice. Amen? Can you say amen? And that's the voice that's going to be loud and clear. And we are privileged as God's people to carry that message and to be a voice. Amen? All right, so I believe that the way we speak, the way we pray, what we declare is very significant. Amen? Amen. So get into the Word of God. Find out what God is saying and begin to speak that. Begin to declare that. And feel in your spirit, what are you saying, Lord, concerning this year? What are you saying concerning our nation? What are you saying concerning my family? Amen. God will speak. Amen. All right. Let's move on here. We're talking about confessing and professing and confessing His name. Last week, the week before, sorry, Pastor Joseph shared a message on 1 John 1:9. All right, who actually knows this verse? Can you help me verbalize it? Okay, let's try that one more time. 1, 2, 3. If we confessed our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say confess. Now, what do we mean by confess? If we ask one another, what does the word confess mean? We understand what it means, right? If I've done something wrong, and if I'm confessing something, I am admitting that I did something wrong. I'm acknowledging, I mean, coming in a place of humility, recognizing, hang on, I've done something wrong. I've done whatever it is, and I say it out. Is that right? That's what we mean by confess. So if I've wronged you and I'm convicted and I approach you and I say, look, I'm really sorry. I've done this to you. Please forgive me. I've humbled myself. I've admitted, I've acknowledged, and I've spoken it. Do we agree with that? Confession. So as you know, Greek is written in the New Testament is written in Greek. And so that word confess there, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, okay, you can find this on your Strong's Concordance, homologio, whatever way you pronounce that, okay? All right. Homologio, I think. Okay, and what you will find is this word is made up of two, is a compound word, okay? So it's made up of two other Greek words. And as you can see there, it's made of homo and then logio. And the logio is actually, it comes from the word logos. Have you heard of the word logos? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The logos, okay? So it's made up of homo. Okay, what does homo mean? It's on the blue, on the left side here. So if you can press it one more time again, yeah. So homo means at one place, at the same time, and is translated in the scriptures as the word together in the scripture. So there's a sense of what? Unity, coming together. There's like an agreement, a togetherness in this word, right? This is, it communicates this idea. And the other part there, the logio, which is from logos, it is something that is said, or by implication, it's a topic. It's a discourse. It's a speech. All right, something said. That's the reason why in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so what does that word confess when you start putting those two different Greek words, compound words together, and you get homologio? It means there's an idea of togetherness and something that is said. Henceforth, I said that in the next slide, when I confess my sin before God, when I've done wrong before the Lord, and I approach Him and I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned and I've done this and this and that, please forgive me, right? What do? When I confess my sins, or if I confess my sin or my mistake or my wrongdoing to one another, what am I doing? I come in a place of agreement. I'm admitting what I've done wrong, and I speak it out, or I say it out. Okay, again, I'm just repeating what I've already said. Humility there is involved. Okay. All right. Is that okay so far? So when I do that, I confess my sins. These three things are happening. So that's the reason why, when we've done something wrong, to come in a place of, to confess it, you know, a lot of times what we can do is say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I hurt you, right? I'm sorry. But we're not really coming into a place of agreement. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I didn't intend to. It's not my fault. But I'm saying sorry nevertheless because it's the right thing to do. But I don't think I'm wrong. And what does that display? It displays, that's pride, isn't it? It's our pride that stops us from saying, oh, look, I'm really sorry. I've done something wrong. All right? But it's very interesting that the word confess in the New Testament is also translated as some other words. It's translated as confess, confession that is made to give thanks, and it is also used to promise something. Okay, there are some scriptures there, okay? I want you to keep that mind, this in mind. So now we understand clearly, I think we already understood what confess means from a couple of weeks ago, but I just thought that I'm just kind of trying to lay a foundation here before I get into what I want to say. All right, so confess. Everybody say confess. So it means I come into agreement and I humble myself, I agree, I admit, and I speak it up. Now, in 2 Chronicles, and what I want to do here now is take you through 2 Chronicles for a little bit. I want to read parts of it, chapter 20. So if you can follow with me with your Bible or on the screen as it comes up, but I encourage you to open your Bible if you have your Bible. It will be much easier. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to read bits and pieces here. We just want to get a little bit of the context of the issues that the people were saying, because we have been declaring 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and we're just taking one verse there. But look at it in a little bit of the context of the story, and there's so much involved in this verse. All right, so here we have the people of Israel, okay, or the Judah, okay, and you have the king Jehoshaphat there. And it happened after this that the people of Moab, verse 1, okay, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came to and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And verse 3, I want you to see this, what's happening. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Okay? So what's happening here? There are people that are encamping the house of Judah. They're under attack. There are people coming against them. The nation's coming against them. And here he's fearing. And so what does Jehoshaphat, he does? He seeks the Lord and calls for a fast. Okay? And so we're going to skip a few verses here now. Are you still following with me? In verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, and a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you all of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So think about it. What is God saying to us? All right? Is God saying this year that your battle is mine? You know, let's keep going here. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. How did they praise? Loud and high. How did they praise? Loud and high. One more time. How did they praise? Loud and high. And so verse 20. So they arose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And now look at verse 22 and 23. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were, everybody say, they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Anyway, let's skip a few verses now. And I want you to see verse 29, or 28, 29, and 30. So they won, God fought the battle, set ambushes, okay? And verse 28, and so they came to Jerusalem with strings, instruments, and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. There's so much that could be said from just those verses, but again, if we started doing that, we'll be quite sidetracked to this morning's message. But I want you to first of all say this. There was a conflict. There was an issue. There was now war breaking forth. They were surrounded by nations and people that were coming to destroy them, to fight them. And so there's a problem. Everybody say there's a problem. There's a difficulty. There's a challenge. There's a mountain. There's a circumstance, all right? So when that happens in our lives, what happens? We are in need of help. We are in need to be delivered. We are in need to be protected and saved. And a good word for that is the word, we need salvation. They need salvation from this situation because if nothing happens, they're probably going to be taken out and eaten out by the people who are coming against them. So there's a need for deliverance. But I want to, and so if this morning you feel like, you know, you come into a place that there is a need, you need a breakthrough in certain areas of your life. All right, you feel like you're surrounded by, you know, by the enemy. All right, I want you to know this morning. I want all of us to know this morning that the battle is not just yours. It's not yours to fight, but the Lord to fight. Amen. He will fight for us. He goes before us. Hallelujah. But we got to do a few things. All right. Okay, I'm not saying that we must do this in order for this to happen. But what I'm saying is there are things, you know, there are things here that we can learn that they begin to do. We are living under an open heaven, the Spirit without measure, and we have connection with heaven. When I praise and when I lift my hands, the heavens are open. Heaven can come down. Amen? And I got to keep saying it and believe it. When I lay my hands on the sick, they shall recover. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Because the Bible says it. The Word of God says it. Jesus said, you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Then I have to believe it, whether I see it or not, but I'm going to believe it until it happens. Amen? Because it's the Word of God. So I'm going to keep confessing that. But anyway, here we find in verse 21, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. Okay? We've already read it, but I'm going to read it again. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, in Hebrew, there are quite a number of words that expresses praise. So, hallelujah is one of them, okay? But we won't talk about hallelujah today. But hallelujah is that verb there is also found in some of the word praises as we read that chapter. But particularly here in verse 21, the word that is used there, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, is a Hebrew word called yada. Everybody say yada. Yada. What is so significant about this word, okay? Because the definition of this word, without going into too much details, it's used to confess, it's used to praise, it's used as giving thanks. Again, you can find all of this information if you've got a Strong's Concordance, okay? But that word praise, okay, it is used to give thanks. It is used to praise, and it is used to confess. For example, okay, next slide here. Okay, he's used to praise, used to give thanks and confessing sin, and he's also used for confessing the name of God. So when in the Old Testament, when they confessed their sin, they yada. When they gave thanks, they yada. When they praised, they yada. Okay, and by the way, Judah comes from the word yada. Okay, so this is where the names, that's why Judah is praise, the praise of God, right? So yada, okay. Yada, just like the Greek word we looked earlier, can be used in a sense of confessing my sin or making confession, but also to give thanks and praise. All right? So are you following where we're going this morning? When I praise, when I yada, what does that look like? What is actually happening? What is the significance? If this is the year of the mouth, when I yada, when praise starts to come out of my mouth, what's going to happen? All right. Now, finally, okay, let me just kind of bring this up a little bit together now. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, okay, I want to see what Greek word is used to translate yada. And up on the screen here, praise is the word exomologio, which is made up of two words. What is it? Ex and homologio. That sound familiar? Did you find that? Did we look at the word homologio at the start? When we talked about 1 John 1:9, if you confess, that's the same word there. It's just a little compound word here again. So if you look at the meaning of exomologio, if that's how you pronounce it, okay, the main word that I want you to see on the next slide here is agree fully. It means to completely agree. That's the word used there. To praise, all right, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, it's a word used to mean fully agree. Okay? So, next slide here. I want you to see this, okay? Okay, next one. So, praise, in that verse, 2 Chronicles there, is yada in the Hebrew. Okay? In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it is exomologio, right? Okay, which is made up of two words, exo, homologio, okay? But 1 John 1:9, if we confess, it is the word homologio. Okay, so if you press the next one here, so can you make the connections here? It's kind of waving at you as well. Can you see it? You say hello. You can say wave back. Okay? All right. So this is the significance of this. When I praise God with my mouth, it's like I am confessing who God is. Amen? It's a powerful thing. All right, I want you to go to the next. There's the next slide here. It says, we're going to read that verse one more time. Read it with me. 1, 2, 3. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, with all the things that I've shared thus far, I know it's very, very left brain what I'm doing this morning, okay? But if you start to put all the thoughts that we have, you know, put together and you kind of see praise, yada, what does that look like? What does it look like when you put all of these ideas together? And that's how we're going to conclude this. But I want you to see something in this verse, 1 John 1:9. First, it says, and it's all the words in bold, by the way. If we confess, that means if I speak out, if I confess, if I say it, all right? God is, everybody say, faithful, and He is just. And I want you to see in the red here, it has to do with forgiveness and cleansing, right? So to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness, which is like salvation, isn't it? We're being cleansed, we're being saved, we're being delivered from sin. We are cleansed, we are, you know, when we receive Jesus Christ, what do? We confess Jesus unto salvation, okay? So I'm not saying that this is what this verse says, but I'm taking a principle here. If I confess, is God just and faithful? If I yada, is God just and faithful? Is He going to be faithful? Is He true to His word? God is faithful and just. And He is faithful and just to always save us. So whatever situation we're going through, God is just and faithful to deliver us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So read together in bold down the bottom. When I praise and confess who God is and what He is saying, God is faithful and just to show His salvation. Can we read that again? Let that sink for a moment. When I praise and confess who God is and what He is saying, God is faithful and just and show His salvation. Okay? I'm not saying this is the interpretation of 1 John 1:9. I'm just using a principle from there. When I praise and confess, God is just. God is faithful to show His salvation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the people were in need of salvation. They yada. And what happened? What happened? They yada. What did they do? There were three things. They positioned themselves. Everyone say position themselves. They stood still, and it says that they beheld, they saw the salvation of God. And this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Where is it? Verse 15, I think. Listen to you tomorrow, go against. Okay. Verse 17. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So what I'm trying to say here is that in this year, all right, we're talking about proclamation, we're talking about declaration, we're talking about speaking. God is putting, upon our lips is going to be found the praise of God. And, you know, do you remember that I said that yada, Judah comes from the word yada. And Jesus comes from the kingly line. Everybody say kingly. Because He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we know that the Lion of the tribe of Judah speaks of His kingship, speaks of His authority, and speaks of His power. All right? So praise is powerful. Praise is like the roar of the lion that's going forth. That's why it says they praise God loud. It was very loud, wasn't it? Remember how we said that? The praise God, it was loud. And high. Amen. Psalms talks about the praise of God shall be upon their in their mouth. It shall be high. Right? Psalms 149. With the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hands. And what's going to happen? God's going to execute the written judgment upon the enemy. So in conclusion, this is what I want to say. Agreeing with God, when I praise God, when I choose to praise God, what am I doing? I am agreeing with God. Hang on, let me say, before we go into this conclusion, you know, every week, almost every week, and we try to remember at least, but we say our confession, right? What is our confession? Walk and agree with what God says. All right, everybody say, and then we will win because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen? So what are we doing? Confession. We are confessing. What are we confessing? And I hope by the time we finish this morning, you know, whenever we confess, whenever we say the confession, or whenever we declare the Word of God, there'll be a real sense of, wow, the significance of praise and confession, because we know that God is in it and God is faithful and just, and we will surely see His salvation. Amen? Amen. We will see it. Okay, God is faithful and just. And I want to get to the point that God is faithful and just. But what's happening? When I praise God, I am agreeing with God. Number two, I'm declaring who He is. I'm giving thanks and proclaiming His praise. It is an act of humility because I admit and recognize that God is always good and sovereign, and that I can't do anything. If I need victory, if I need a breakthrough, I know that in my own flesh and effort, I can't do it. Therefore, by confessing that, I am admitting and confessing that I need God as my Savior. I need God as my helper. Amen. I need God. He is my strength. When I praise and confess, I trust and agree with Him over my circumstance. All right. So when I praise God, now, most of the times our praise is usually in a song or maybe in a time of prayer or very specific, you know. But what I want to say this morning is, you know, sometimes we could be going through something difficult in life, okay? But what we can do is, over the circumstances of what we are facing, all right, I'm going to choose to agree with God over the circumstance, and I'm going to praise God over the bad situation that I'm facing, and I'm going to choose to believe the faithfulness of God, the justice of God, and I believe, and I will declare that I shall see the breakthrough, I shall see the light, there's going to be salvation, something is going to break forth in this new era as we begin to confess and declare and praise the Lord. We're going to see great things come to pass, not because we just want something great to happen, because the Lord God has said it, because the Lord God has a good plan and a purpose for His people, for He has called us from darkness into His glorious light. He has called us to be a royal priesthood. He has called us to be His people. He has called us to be part of His church. He is building us up. He's coming back for a glorious church. The word of the Lord says it. He has said it. He has declared it. He said, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. For the Lord will stretch forth His scepter out of Zion and rule in the midst of the enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I praise and confess, and what are we going to do? We're going to behold the salvation of God. Amen. So I want to encourage everyone. Of course, we all have challenges in life. We all face difficulties. Maybe there's someone, you know, part of our family who has not received Jesus, and maybe you've been praying for a long time. You've been hoping to see some breakthroughs, and we haven't seen it yet. But I'm encouraging you this morning. In this year, we're going to change the way we talk. We're going to start praising God. And every time I praise God, I'm going to agree. I'm going to confess. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to recognize that He's the God of heaven. And when I praise, I'm going to see the salvation of God. Behold the salvation of God. And that salvation is none other than Jesus. The word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. And that word, when you see here and see His salvation, is that word Yeshua. So right there, you're saying the word, the name of Jesus is right there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You shall see Yeshua. I declare this morning, we will see Him. We will see Him. We will know Him. We will experience Him. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Are you ready in this year 2020, amen, to praise God? I want to read, you know, maybe Psalms just to, maybe I'll read Psalms 139. Or 36, I think it is. I don't think it's 136. I can't seem to find out. The one which says the Lord is, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. He's, and then he keeps repeating that phrase, the Lord, he's 136, sorry. No, 139. Oh, there it is, yep. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read the first part and then the part that keeps repeating. It says, for his mercy endures forever, and you verbalize that one, okay? How's that, okay? All right. And again, we are giving thanks to the Lord. We are confessing who he is, amen? When I give thanks to him, I say, Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. I am confessing that he is faithful. I thank you, Lord, that you are my provider. I'm confessing he is the provider, amen? So we give thanks for all things, and we give thanks for who he is. So, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down the great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave them land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. And oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Amen. 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 God is good. He is the God of heaven. Hallelujah. His mercy, his loving, covenantal love, kindness is always enduring. It is everlasting. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He is faithful and just. Hallelujah. Please, let's rise to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, so I encourage you, you know, when you spend time with the Lord, just begin to speak to him and learn to confess his word. Learn to praise him. Amen. Just speak to him. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I mean, look at all the things. They went from creation to his power, to his greatness, to his redemption, to the inheritance that he has given us. Say, Lord, I thank you. You have blessed me with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Oh, his love endures forever. Amen. Amen. So we're going to learn to speak God's word. Praise him. Praise him. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen and amen. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that in this year, with the praise of God will be upon our lips. Hallelujah. Instead of looking at the negative circumstances and speak the negative, we're going to choose. We're going to humble ourselves and say, we're going to choose to praise the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is above every other name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. For there's no name greater than the name of Jesus, neither which is in heaven nor on earth nor under the earth. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is worthy to be praised. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He is our Healer. He is the God who is there. He is the God who sees. He is the everlasting God. He is the Almighty God. He is the Mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace, Counselor, the Mighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise his name. Let's give thanks to him. Oh, we give you glory. Offer the sacrifice of praise. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. 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 He is the God who sanctifies us. He is the Lord God, our righteousness. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you. Oh, he's the King of peace. He's the King of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the God most high, possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He's God, our creator. He's God, our savior. He's God, our redeemer. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So as I stand here and as we stand together this morning, we're going to proclaim the praise of God even over our nation. And if you have a situation, if you want to cry out for yourself as well, if you want to praise God for anything, you may be going through something, I want to encourage you. Let's praise the Lord. We will see the salvation of God. You will see the salvation of God. You are not alone, for God is with us. 2 Corinthians 20, he says, for the Lord is with us. He is with us. He's with us in the storm. Amen. Amen. So take courage. Take courage. God is launching us in 2020 into new heights, into new breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to speak to the mountains. We're going to rise above the mountains. We're going to rise above the flood. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So stand with me as we praise God over this land. Lord, we just praise you. We declare over this land of Australia, as Australians all around the country is celebrating Australia Day, we declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a new day. This is the beginning of God. This is what the Lord is saying concerning this nation, because God, as I said it again and again, has a plan and a destiny for this nation. God has a purpose for this nation. Lord, we just declare your praise and we say your mercy and your goodness and your love, they endure forever. Endure forever. Oh God, we cry out for mercy over this land. Oh, we declare, let there be repentance, oh God. Lord, let the nations turn to you to worship you. Hallelujah. We declare that you are holy. We declare that you are righteous. We declare that you are worthy. We declare that you are glorious. We declare that you are beauty. And we worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We honor your name. We honor the name of Jesus. We give glory to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen.